Off the Ball Rugby.
There were genuine fears as to what could happen to that Munster team, because this wasn't an All Blacks XV.
No.
This wasn't a second string. This was Joe Rococo and the boys.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
A very good morning to you. Welcome along. It is Wednesday morning. We'll bring you Wednesday's papers in about 5 minutes' time. Sunnyvale Williams is going to join us at 8:05 to preview the Ireland All Blacks game this Friday. Sam Lee is in Lisbon, where he's been reporting for The Athletic on the third successive defeat for Manchester City, the first time that's happened since 2018. We'll hear from Boyle and Keegan, two of the Mayo greats. Tommy was hanging out with him yesterday. And Conor Cairns, Shelburne goalkeeper, will talk to us about a week of celebrations after their league triumph last Friday. Colin, good morning to you.
Hi, Ger. Yeah, first time since you touched on it there, April 2018 to be specific, since Pep Guardiola last three in a row as Manchester City boss. And 2 years ago, they hammered Sporting 5-1 in Lisbon when Ruben Amorim was the manager. But what a way to bow out, like. It's the worst I've seen Man City play in a long time. Not my words, Ger. The words of Noel Gallagher, who was on commentary for TNT Sports alongside Darren Fletcher and Ali McCoist. Which is funny because after 35 minutes, when Bernardo Silva pulled his shot just wide after City went 1-0 up, Noel Gallagher said, "I wasn't expecting it to be this easy, I gotta say."
Yeah, well, they were fairly dominant in that first half up to that point in terms of, I'm trying to find the XG. The XG finishes up 3.2 to 2.3, so it's not a 4-1. It's one of those ones where it doesn't feel like a 4-1, and that's why. But at halftime, I can't find the can't find the halftime one. Sorry, it did feel like Man City were cruising. They obviously miss a penalty. They hit the crossbar with the penalty. There's a couple of other chances for. There's two good chances for Haaland in the first half, in particular, that you would expect him to do better with. Particularly the first one, where there's a good save from the goalkeeper. But I don't know. Is this important that City have lost three games in a row, or is this just a minor blip? And I don't know.
Well, people are getting excited by the form of it, like, because it's been such a long time since this has happened. But two of the three games are losable, really, by their standards. To lose in the League Cup, like, fine, whatever. He's won the League Cup plenty of times. Grands lost away to Spurs, who were very good in the night.
So he has lost in the League Cup loads of times, except he also has not lost in the League Cup loads of times. He has made a big deal of winning the trophy and harvesting the medals and doing all that stuff.
There's no one for a while, though, now. Like, Liverpool did it last year, United the year before.
Yeah.
Like, so in between of which they won a treble, you know. Yeah. So like it wouldn't.
It's no big deal.
It definitely would have been the lowest on their priorities, like, by some stretch.
Yeah, but it's the
sure. Look, Klopp won the League Cup last season, and you don't even mention it.
Like, got the sack.
It's not even mentioned. It's not even mentioned in his last campaign what he did. Like, it was that they fell away in the title race. So that was grand, losing Spurs. Bournemouth's defeat was bad, but Bournemouth have been excellent at home, as they showcased against Arsenal a few weeks ago. And then last night, it was a really bad second half performance. Sporting took full advantage in basically a couple of minutes at the very start of the second half. But like in this new Champions League format, it's probably going to be inconsequential for City, and they'll roll on next game. So as I was saying, it's away to Brighton this weekend, and that'll probably be the real test. If they lose that game, it'll start getting interesting. But because they've lost three in a row, because they're not playing very attractive football, they had a young fella, did academy graduate centre-half last night. They're missing a few players. Kevin De Bruyne is only coming back. Jack Grealish is out. They get players back, they'll regroup. They'll probably have a good run over Christmas and New Year's, and this will be forgotten about. But right now, it's fun. It's fun to see City suffer.
So it doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters. I think people get excited enough about their losing streak, but like, ultimately, I'd say my prediction is it'll be irrelevant by season's end. I was very interested in Ruben Amorim speaking afterwards with TNT. And just comes across as like incredibly likeable, very down-to-earth guy. But I think when you're at your most successful and at your peak of your form in life, it's probably easiest to be as likeable as possible at that point. Because he was saying about like Sporting second and third goals. Like the second one was like 20 seconds into the second half. And he said there was no coaching involved there for either goal. It was pure instinct by the players. So he takes no credit for that. And he also said that his side, as in Manchester United, will have to defend much better against Manchester City than Sporting did in the first half. He basically said they were very lucky. So you can afford to say that when everyone's on your side. And I recall, like, the first year of Erik ten Hag, he had similar tones as well. He would never be defensive. If they lost or underperformed, he would say, he would be very honest about what happened. And that was kind of endearing. And then it's only when they started losing consistently under his watch after a significant period of time that the other side of Ten Hag came out. So we'll wait and see what happens with Aberdeen. But it was funny last night, like, watching it online, people saying, like, it's like one of the best young coaches in Europe, like 39. He's flying it, like, they've just hammered Man City. I can't believe he's going to destroy it all in the next 18 months. And you can't help but feel that is a possibility.
Yeah, obviously it's a possibility given everybody else has failed, but there's also a possibility that somebody eventually, the house always wins, that the money that Manchester United have, and that the, I know we keep hearing that their academy, blah, 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 but they do have loads of good young players. So there is a possibility somebody is going to turn it around eventually. There's a probability somebody will turn it around eventually. So why not him?
You say obviously it's a possibility. Yeah, but like that's the whole point. It's like every time there's been an appointment to the manager, pretty much every single one is like, okay, here we go now, this is it.
I know. So nobody thought that. Very few people outside of the Man United faithful thought that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was going to be the giant football brain required to fix the situation.
Solskjaer was ridiculous. And actually they did. And loads of people fell into the trap at the time. Well, Solskjaer. Loads of people did.
Loads of Man United fans maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they did. But yeah. Well, I'm not saying you did.
That's a small subset of...
Well, they're a massively supportive club around the world, so it was a huge number of people.
I do also think that most people thought that Van Gaal was past it by the time he got the gig. And most people thought that... Now, I know you're going to say Jose Mourinho says it's his greatest achievement, but he's wrong. That Mourinho was... not also past it. I think most people thought that Mourinho's peak had long since passed by the time he got the United gig. So I don't know if actually there's been anybody who has they're getting somebody on the upward bounce of a career like they have this one. That's why I think that...
that is unique. Like, it's definitely a departure. Although Ten Hag was on that same...
Sorry, he was.
Wavelength.
He was.
He's just a little bit older himself than thing is. It's just an odd, whatever way his career's gone. But you're all right. Like, it is, they were all kind of, pre-loved, a lot of those managers when they came in. It just didn't...
Vintage.
Yeah, none of them really made a lot of sense, but...
Secondhand.
I don't know, people were happy enough with Ten Hag.
People were happy with Ten Hag, yeah. But it was almost because it was a departure from the rest. The rest were so clearly reactionary.
I think the other thing is that...
Well, Van Gaal had a good World Cup with the Netherlands when he came in.
See, it wasn't like the one key rule, never buy a player. Never buy a player before
that
a good World
arranged.
Cup.
And he happened to have a good World Cup and people were like relatively excited.
It was a mad one in hindsight.
Mad one at the time.
I did like him.
His peak was in the 90s. Like, it clearly was. I think the other thing here is that there is a clear, experienced group of people running the football business now, with the exception of Brailsford, who obviously doesn't have any track record in football, but the chief executive, the football director, all those people who are making those football decisions have picked a manager who will work within their system, who they'll work with to sign players, as opposed to the opposite was really, it was like, oh, I don't think anybody was saying Murta and Fletcher have the worldly experience and the know-how to navigate the transfer market. If Fletcher was part of this group now, who was getting experience from them, you'd say, well, that's a good thing. He understands all the stuff about the throughput of players from the club. But this group now have a track record of buying players to fit the style of a manager. Yeah, and it doesn't seem like you have to be absolutely amazing at that to be able to get a manager to manage a group of players. But it's whether or not the players are any good and how quickly it'll take Amorim to turn this around. I'd say this is the first time Man United fans should properly feel some sense of hope about the situation.
It's a bit like the Democrats, isn't it? It's the hope that kills you, like. And you just can't, you can't commit to it. You can't commit to this feeling yet until he has a good chunk of his time done. Like, he's only signed a 2.5-year contract as well, which is interesting. So if he fulfills that contract, he can still get out of there before his reputation is completely burnt. But you're thinking, like, he must wake up this morning and there must be a part of him thinking, like, what am I doing? What am I leaving this crowd for? We're on the up here. We're second in the Champions League table. We're flawless in Portugal. What am I doing?
He's tripling his wages.
Okay, but like, yeah, you can do, like, you could go to Saudi Arabia for that. Like, you know, it's not really about the money.
Did you see that? Did you see there was a report last week? think it was in The Athletic, there was some big read they had where he said there'd been an offer that was three times as much as the Man United offer.
Yeah.
Which must have been, I mean, it must have been somebody. Yeah, but it was, good grief.
Yeah, I'd say West Ham would have paid him a fortune as well. Like,
I think that was the whole point. They wouldn't though, wasn't it?
No, I don't think that was, I mean, he said he flew over to tell him no, which is very good of him. Not an environmentalist, but it was very good of him. I don't think it's the money thing, really. Like, I just think it's very brave of him to take this job, and it's a mess. Like, there's so much to fix.
Yeah, what about Liverpool last night?
Yeah, well, like, what can you say about Arne Slot? Like, other than the Nottingham Forest aberration, like, this has been amazing. Now, it was nil all at half time, and Leverkusen had one or two chances. They possibly, maybe should have had a penalty. But Luis Diaz, who's been, funny enough, rotated, I suppose you'd say, not necessarily dropped, but rotated a bit this season. He scores a hat-trick. So Cuevin Kelleher pulls off pretty decent double save at the end of the game. It was about 3-0 at the time. And Curtis Jones, since having a baby, has been phenomenal.
When did he have the baby?
I'd say about 2 or 3 months ago at this stage, start of the season. And it's the new dad bounce. I mean, I don't know where he's getting it from. Like, I'd like to know what's happening there. Because he's playing with such freedom and control in midfield. He swept this pass last night with his left foot out to Cody Gakpo. And it started with a brilliant first touch to kill the ball dead and then kill the Leipzig momentum. Swiveled, uses his left foot, his bad foot, to find Gakpo. And then he had a beautiful through ball for one of Liverpool's goals too. He's certainly on the cusp of an England call-up, you'd imagine, because it's the best I've seen him play. I've always, like with Curtis Jones, I've always associated him with Harvey Elliott. Was never really able to separate the two. Jones always seemed like slightly more gifted, but now he's playing with the presence of a Liverpool midfielder. Maybe it is linked with becoming a parent. And Darwin Nunez, who I'd be a big defender of, as you know, I love his chaos. There was a 4-2 break at the very end of the game when they were 3-0 up. And Nunez did his very best to mess that up, but accidentally, indirectly set up Liverpool's fourth goal from a botched shot.
And looked like he didn't really celebrate when the goal was scored.
Well, I'd say he was like embarrassed by what he had done and was expecting a bollocking, because it was like, it was like question of sport, what happens next? It was like, what's the worst possible decision that this player could make? And that's what Darwin Nunez did, which is what he tends to do.
The XG was nil all at half time, basically, and then 4-0 at full time. So that was an absolute pummeling from Liverpool of one of the best teams in Europe last season. I wonder, is Xabi Alonso feeling the opposite to Ruben Amorim?
Yeah, well, they're kind of plateauing. I mean, I thought it was like, what's the word? So there was a lot of integrity when Xabi Alonso said he's going to stay at Bayer Leverkusen at the end of last season when he was linked with a number of major clubs across Europe. But it did strike me in the back of my mind. It was like, geez, I wonder, should he strike while the iron's hot here? Because Leverkusen have had an historic season. And it's very difficult to better that in the eyes of any. And they've already haven't really. They've been fine this season, but they've been nowhere near as consistent as they were last campaign. And you're just thinking, geez, if you could rewind the clock there 6 months, Xabi, would you make a different decision?
I think you still wait, get the Real Madrid job.
Yeah, exactly. And I think
bigger job, like,
didn't no. Probably, but football's fickle. And if he has, like, if they have a downturn here, if they don't qualify for the knockout stages,
yeah, it would have to be a poor season. He'll have enough credit in the bank.
You'd imagine so, but I mean that's rational conversation. But this is football.
No, they're irrational is to go game by game and go.
But that's what people do. I mean, that's what decision makers do. I mean, we've seen that countless times.
Not in proper kind of actual decision making. It's not like, it's like the red herring there with the Howard Webb thing. Like, if that penalty had been given and what Man United draw, then he'd still get to keep his job. It's like, he might keep his job for an extra game.
I know, but here's the thing, it's not your sliding doors moment, somebody else nips in and gets Ruben Amorim.
People talk about that far more. It's because they're exceptional situations. That's not the rule. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah. Can we just be sensible about it? Like, it's not.
We can't. It's football.
We can be sensible.
That's the whole point. I think, look, there is a lot of irrationality in football. I do think, however, that at the level that Xabi Alonso is operating at, Klopp obviously had massive, incredible success at Dortmund, but then that success tailed off at the end and he takes a break and then he gets a job that was his dream job and that was the best job for him. And I can see if Xabi Alonso has a terrible season this season, he could still, more than likely, will still get the Real Madrid job, which it appears might be available sooner rather than later. There is an irrational club and an irrational manager if they lose more fixtures in a row. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get rid of Carlo Ancelotti.
Well, watch them turn on Carlo. Because clubs do turn on Carlo. And when it's going well for Ancelotti, people revere his laid-back style and think like, oh, no, tactics doesn't matter. Like, he's pure vibes. And when it goes wrong for Ancelotti, everybody piles in on him. And that's what will happen again. Like, Real Madrid will sack him. I'm not entirely sure that Xabi Alonso is a shoo-in for the job yet. I think he should get it. But I don't know if
they're looking at it realistically. They'll probably look at him. They'll look at Emery. I'm not sure who else they'll look at. I mean, they might go and they're not going to get Klopp. He's not going to make that call.
Amorim.
Go get Amorim, yeah. There's not that many people who will be kind of the kind of manager that they'll want to get. There's not too many options. I don't know. Maybe it depends who's coming out of Italy as well. But I don't know if you saw that last night. I've never seen a man to miss more chances than Kylian Mbappe. I'm not convinced. It's not so stupid to say. His shooting is just, it's insane. It's every time it's bang right at the keeper, right down the middle of the keeper. Mm. The keeper very rarely has to do much to save it. But it's watching that last night, all the misses, central misses seem to be his. The Classico, same thing. I mean, he was very close a lot of the time to me.
I put ball in the net twice, but yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's just because you know he's there and that's the big story that your eyes are drawn to him. But he just seems to have been, he's either elected to become central to everything or that's just inevitably the way the thing goes. And it's just not, it's not working out as I'm sure he'd planned.
I caveat this with, like, Mbappe's obviously class, but I am unconvinced about him being world class. Like, right. there's a lot of examples where he just basically largely flatters to deceive. And you're right, like, his lack of precision in his finishing is kind of remarkable for a player that's generational.
It's just in comparison to what was there, say, in Benzema. I know not most recently, but like, it's just that type of thing. Like, even those, remember those games when they played Liverpool and they bet them comfortably in Anfield? And it was that thing with Benzema, he's just tearing through the middle and you're like, he's going to score this. He'll put this away. And it's just not the same kind of reliability there with Mbappe at all.
No, definitely not.
Even though he's so quick and he's lightning. Yeah, like, once he goes, he's gone. But it's just, you have no guarantee.
It's probably too much of a catch-all statement to say, but he's very much a modern forward in that, like, it's pace and directness and ferocity in the shooting, but there's very little the art of a finisher.
Where's the nuance? Kind of,
yeah, where is the nuance? Yeah, this is part of the conversation we had with Jonathan Wilson the other day about the kind of dying breed of the number nine is like there's no respect for the art of finding your corner and finding a place that the keeper won't like it. It's pure raw pace, ferocity, shots. And we'll score enough if we shoot enough.
I think I'm just looking up footy stats here. Is non-penalty XG kind of tallies with his goals? Or is actually slightly below? So it feels like it's a perception as opposed to...
I'm not allowed to have any sort of hot takes. Okay. Yeah, God forbid.
No, I just...
Work away, crack on.
I'm just saying, I found some stats that are an interesting data point here.
Stats will tell you whatever you want.
Yeah, he's just going to kill it, like...